Hello, this is Peter Noon, Herman from Herman's Hermits. And just like you, I'm listening to Rev Rob.
This is Reverend Rob, and I'm joined by the ever ebullient Peter Noon, Herman of Herman's Hermits. Peter, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, Robert, it's always nice talking to you.
Yes, well, we are so happy to have you, and we're very happy, nay, dare I say, tickled pink to the point of giddiness, that you're coming into Kansas City at the Ameristar June 2nd.
I'm looking forward to it, actually, the Ameristar Casino. I've got fond memories of Kansas City from being a teenager there on our first tour, so I'm sure it'll be a good night and a good day in Kansas City.
Do you get a lot of time to shop around or see the city whenever you come into places?
Well, I think we're going to drive in the night before. We're in Meridian, Mississippi the night before, and everybody's driving up there. So, you know, we're doing that run, Branson, where I met you, and then we're going to go to Meridian, Mississippi, then Kansas City. We're all flying around and working.
Do you take a bus? Because I've read somewhere that sometimes you like to drive yourself in your own rental.
No, I always drive myself, because that way I can get a good look at America and meet people that aren't in the music business.
Yeah. Well, do you meet a lot of people out in the wild?
I do. You know, the world is loaded up with really nice people, you know. They're just sort of hidden in little towns and stuff, you know.
Right. And I imagine from your first tours with, like, the Caravan of Stars that you had quite a pretty good impression of Americana back then. I'm curious, when looking back, you have any fond memories from those early times of traveling?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, we were little kind of village boys. We were suburbs of Manchester, which wasn't a big city back then. It is now. I mean, it was a small British manufacturing town, and we found ourselves on a bus with Little Anthony Imperials and Freddie Cannon and the Ike and Tina Turners of the planet. And it was all pretty brand new for us. It was the whole traveling experience was different.
It's the greatest stage show, in-person stage show, ever to come to this part of Virginia. The Dick Clark Caravan of Stars at Roanoke's Victory Stadium, Monday, July 27th. In person, you'll see and hear Major Lance. You'll see and hear in person the Shirelles. You'll see and hear in person Gene Pitney, the Reflections, the Dixie Cups. Brian Hyland, the Ripcords, and many, many more. This all-star show brought to you by RSC Productions at Victory Stadium, Roanoke, on the 27th at 8:30 p.m. Here's where you can get your advance tickets now.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head over you. Walk past me, you don't even know that I exist. Going out of my head over you. Out of my head over you. Out of my head, day and night. Night and day and night. All right, I must be away to you. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head.
Going out of my head, over you. Out of my head, over you. Out of my head, day and night. Night and day and night. Oh, come on. Yeah, all right. Yeah, every.
we became friends with those guys in Little Anthony and Jewels. They, we were introduced to America from by the other team. So it was kind of interesting for us because every day was every day on that tour was an adventure. I think every day should be an adventure. You know, you should have horizons. We would play in Macon, Georgia, and we'd play in Pennsylvania, and we'd play at the Steel Pier and in Atlantic City. We did 80-something dates on a bus.
Wow.
And it was during that tour that I decided that I would be like Chuck Berry and always drive myself so that I could disappear when it was necessary. You know, leave quickly. Leave when I wanted to leave, not have to wait for the bass player and the road manager and all that stuff. So I learned quickly to be independent because as soon as we got enough money, I moved to London. And, of course, I had my own car. I couldn't be in the van with everybody. And I suppose it's underestimated now, but the liberty that you find as a teenager having your own car and not having to ask your mum to take you to the shops is kind of liberating. And I still got that feeling in there. I've still got that kind of Panglossian thing that I can just leave and the next place is always going to be better than the place I'm in.
Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile, my curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go.
Well, that's very admirable. In fact, you have quite the magnetism with connecting with people. And you talked about jetting after concerts sometimes, you know, at least having the freedom to do so. But mostly what I've seen and what I think you'll do maybe Kansas City is you'll hang out after the show and meet your fans, which is quite amazing.
I always do that because when I started, I saw that the Everly Brothers, I was a big fan of the Everly Brothers, and I saw that they were very personable and they really appreciated their following. Whatever that was called, fans. Fans is just a derivative of fanatics, so I'm not really sure. It could be just people who like your music, and they like your show. And I think it's important to go back and say hello to them so that they can see you as the person, not the person on stage, the person who you really are.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're disappointed. I was very, very enamored by the Everly Brothers, how charming and nice they were to their fans. So I said, if I ever make it, I'm going to be like them. And the same with Roy Orbison, the same with Gene Pitney. The people that came before the British invasion were very nice.
Wake up, little Susie, wake up. Wake up, little Susie, wake up.
Wow. I mean, you are by far one of the most vibrant, entertaining concerts I've seen put on by any act. And there's barely anything ever resembling a kind of a hush in your show. And you trot around this wonderful world. I'm using a lot of songs here. But how do you do it? You're obviously onto something good, right?
I'm into something. But you know what it is I enjoy the music, and I always have done. And we didn't, the band Herman Church, never recorded any songs we didn't like. So they're constantly being refreshed. You know, you go up on stage and you sing, and I reminisce, you know, like the audience perhaps are transported to a time and place where they were when they first heard the record, or something happened to them when they heard the song. And it's the same for me. I'm just a music nut, you know. I just love music. So each song takes me somewhere. I sometimes do Ferry Across the Mersey, and it's not even my song, but it takes me back to Liverpool and my dad driving through the Mersey Tunnel because the ferry would have been replaced by a road.
Life goes on day after day. Hearts torn in every way. So ferry cross the Mersey, 'cause this land's a place I love, and here I'll stay.
You know, the show is all reminiscences, really, for me.
Well, speaking of reminiscing, where do you think the catalyst started? Where was the influence coming from on an early age?
You know, before television, families created music together and entertained each other. And my family, my father was a trombone player. We lived with my grandparents because my parents were at university. My mother went to Cambridge University, and my father went to Edinburgh University. And we lived with my grandparents, and my grandfather was the church organist, and my grandmother was the choir mistress. You used to be able to call a choir mistress in those days, and that's what she was kind of proud of, being the choir mistress. And we didn't have a television, but there was a radio, but, you know, if the radio wasn't playing the songs that you wanted to hear, we went in the other room, and my grandfather played the piano a bit, and my Auntie Mary played Fats Waller on the piano. So we'd do "My Very Good Friend," and says we'd play hundreds and hundreds of different tunes.
"My very good friend, the milkman, says that I've been losing too much sleep. He doesn't like the hours I keep. He suggests that you should marry me."
Grew up surrounded, and my dad would show up and he'd play the trombone, and his brother played the trumpet, and I was just the singer. You know, there was no guitars around, so I was the singer. And my sister would sing, and we'd dance, and we'd do "Fill the Fluter's Ball" and loads of Irish songs, and "I'm Henry VIII, I Am," we would do, because everyone knew the words. And bit by bit, I became, you know, I was just always surrounded by music, and I turned music into my hobby. I collected records, and eventually I ended up in a band, because doesn't everybody?
"I'm Henry the Eighth, I am, I am. I got married to the widow next door. She'd been married 7 times before. Everyone was a Henry. She wouldn't have a Willie or a Sam. I'm a race old man named Henry. Henry the Eighth, I am."
From playing those shows that you were pulled into a band, right, to fill in for someone?
Well, you know, because I knew all the songs, an unusual record collection. I knew lots of songs, and there was a band playing, and I went to see them. I actually didn't go to see the band. I went to see what kind of girls liked the band. And their singer didn't show up, and the bass player from the band knew that I had a bit of musical knowledge. And, oh, I also went to Manchester School of Music. I forgot that. So I was at a school of music. And they asked me, did I know this song? And I said, I know all those songs. So they said, could you help us out and sing a bit with us tonight. And I got up and I enjoyed it. And they asked me to join the band. And I joined the band and took it over.
And the rest is history, I guess, right?
Yeah, you know, it works like that. You know, it's always the chance encounter in everybody's career. If you didn't have the chance encounter, you didn't meet your husband, or you didn't meet your girlfriend, or, you know, your wife. You know, if you didn't, like in my example, I went to see Jimi Hendrix in a club in London. I met my wife there.
Wow.
She was from France, and she was just visiting England and heard about this guy called Jimi Hendrix, and we met there.
And you introduced Jimi Hendrix to an American agent, right, to promote some of his shows and stuff like that?
Well, not introduced him. I told him, you know, my American agent signed everybody that I suggested. He got The Who, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, and he was always, he's a great agent. He was a nice, honest agent. And I think that those people, because they were my friends, they deserved to get a nice, honest agent. I mean, I wouldn't send him anybody there who wasn't any good, but The Who were pretty good, and so was Led Zeppelin, and so was Jimi Hendrix.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Getting back to a little bit of playing those records, you host a Sirius XM satellite show that I tune into, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do as well. What kind of led you back to that?
You know, they asked me. I did a benefit for them in New York for the Sirius XM people, and you know, I'm not just a singer. I think I'm a bit of an entertainer. So they found me very entertaining, and I told stories. I didn't have my group with me. I was on my own. And I think Cousin Brucey and a couple of the guys over there were at the show, and they said, you should have your own radio show. So I said, yeah, you're right. I'll do it. Give me a good time when lots of people are listening in the car, you know, like the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, how about Saturday afternoon when all the people are going to and from the shopping malls and going home? I said, perfect. So I created a show, and I do kind of simple. I do 18 2-minute introductions to songs. I tell stories, and my mother's a guest on the show, even though she hasn't been on the planet for about 11 years. She's in heaven, and I'm sure she's in heaven, and I hope I don't see her again very soon.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm just having fun. You know, it's not, they don't pay me hundreds of millions of dollars, of course, so I just have fun with it. And if they fire me, I'd recover in about 7 minutes.
Well, I know we're going to have fun when you come into town. The Sirius show is great. How else can people find out what you're up to? You're pretty active on social media, right?
Well, I try to. You know, I try to do that. You know, I do less and less because I think social media has attracted some really awful people. When I go to Twitter and things like that, and I put things on there, and people a negative, like who are my friends? You know, I'm friends with a guy called Dennis Miller. The definition of friend is somebody that you can disagree with on everything and at the end of the conversation still be friends. He's my friend. We don't have to agree on everything. We don't have to agree on who's a good president. I'm English anyway, so I avoid social media whenever it gets outside of entertainment. So I do go on there, and it's mostly funny stuff that I try to do, self-deprecation. But I'm British anyway. I have a British passport. I'm a citizen of the United Kingdom, and I'm a resident of the United States. I don't get to vote in either country, but I have an opinion, and I'm going to keep it to myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like, just from your general positive demeanor and what you've just talked about, pretty good role model. Have you ever had a mentor?
Yeah, you know, I went to a Roman Catholic school, and every one of those priests was my mentor. Everyone taught me something. One of them told me, we got it, Noon, when you make it, you'll be a clown. I think he was right, because I was always entertaining the boys in the classroom, you know, by usually doing naughty things. But they gave me great information. You know, I had that. I think once upon a time, schools, you went to school, and there were rules. And we left knowing that it wasn't okay to cheat and lie and do stuff like that. It was sort of a moral compass. And everybody at the school had access to the rules. And some people followed the rules. I just always was too chicken to step outside of the box. I'm a kind of honest Joe person. Very normal, average Joe person. So
yeah.
One thing I'm good at is being Peter Moon.
Yeah, and Peter Noon is Herman, is Peter Noon. It's the same guy. I appreciate it. Peter, it's been a dandy. A show must to avoid, Rev Rob thinks not. It's Saturday, June 2nd at the Ameristar Casino in Kansas City. Doors at 7:30, the show's at 8:30. Thank you so much, Peter. Yeah.
She'll say goodbye to you.